Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special 3-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
From the Allstate Skyline Studios in beautiful downtown Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, program 348 in this series. And to my right, no, it is not the vivacious Lisa Wolf. It's Curtis Koch. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, I am no Lisa Wolf, but I'm very appreciative of you letting me just chill out with you for the next few hours before I'm here with Dave.
You know what? It's nice to see your happy face. How was your Christmas?
It was very good. Thanks for asking. How about yours?
It was good. What did you buy me?
Oh,
we're doing
a gift exchange this year?
Well, let me see now. In regular, like Tommy Bahama, I'm like a medium.
Okay.
Possibly a large. In a Burberry, I would need extra large. They run small. Karen, I run
about
small.
Gift cards?
Yes, I will take. Yeah. I will take gift cards.
Okay.
And it's not too late to give me a gift card.
Okay.
I'm
what'd
fine.
What'd you get me?
Lots and lots of stuff. I have it in my Jeep downstairs.
I'm feeling super guilty now.
We'll get it to you right after the show if you're here at 2:00 in the morning when I get off.
Well, I'll be here till 5. So.
Oh, you'll be here till 5.
Yeah, because I got Dave coming up.
Oh,
later
right.
On.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, we are going to play some classic radio shows for our listeners. You know what? We're celebrating New Year's Eve. What are you doing for New Year's Eve, Curtis?
Well, I will be here with Elton Jim producing for Bill and Wendy.
Okay.
And then I'll be back in the burbs, hang out with some friends. And then New Year's Day, I'll be here with Andy Mazur and Brent Sopel. I'll be producing for the bonus pregame show that we'll be having from 9 a.m. to 11:30. And then I'll be producing the Winter Classic. So I've got a busy, packed weekend coming up here.
Man, I know who to go to when I need a loan.
Yeah.
That would be...
Please.
You're working.
Just as long as the interest rates will come back in my favor.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have classic radio, Jack Benny annual New Year's Eve show from 1950. And then Dick Powell stars as Richard Diamond, private detective from 1951. First, though, we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? And what do listeners win, Curtis?
They will win a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. You can call 855-955-HVAC.
Yeah, but that's not the number to call to play the game. The number to play the game is 312-981-7200, and the celebrity is Clint Eastwood.
Oh, okay.
So
big fan of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, so call now. What caller would you like?
Let's do 4. Caller 4.
Caller 4. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Play the game live on the air. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
Let's play our game.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we have Sean on the line. Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, Sean. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Picking you up from outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Wow.
Don't
very
you know?
Cool.
Look at that.
Yeah. How cold is it out there in Minneapolis?
It's a scarf and a hat night tonight.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, it's good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for calling in. You're a winner, and we're going to play the game. It's all about Clint Eastwood, and you know how this is, right? I'm going to just give you, like, 3 statements. You tell me if it's real or ridiculous. Sound good?
All right, sounds good.
Okay, his production company, Malpazzo, is named after his childhood dog. Is that real or ridiculous? What do you think, Sean?
I would say that would be real.
Okay, Curtis?
I'm going to go ridiculous.
So here's for Sean. And here's for Curtis. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Clint Eastwood's agent told him that appearing in Leone's trilogy of spaghetti westerns, A Fistful of Dollars, for a few dollars more, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, was a bad step for his career. And bad step in Spanish is Malpazzo. And since Malpazzo Creek Malpaso Creek is also a body of water located south of Carmel of the Sea, California, where Eastwood makes his home. He named his company Malpaso Productions. What do you think of that?
That's really interesting. Sean, yeah. Did you know that?
I suspected it, but I couldn't, I guess.
Okay, well, yeah. All right, you have two more chances here. Okay, Eastwood was offered the role of Han Solo in Star Wars, but turned it down before the role was snatched up by Harrison Ford. Is that real or is that ridiculous? What do you think, Sean?
I think that one's real as well.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Sean here. I'm going to say it's real.
Okay, so both of you?
Yeah.
Wow. It is not real.
Although, I think he would be a pretty good Han Solo. I think he'd be a good fit.
He was, but he was not. But here's something interesting. Sean Connery, after he left the 007 franchise, Clint Eastwood was offered the iconic role and turned it down. And then because George Lazenby was cast after Sean Connery, but yeah. Clint also turned down the role of Superman. Christopher Reeve was cast, but he was never offered the role of Han Solo. So it's kind of a trick question. All right, so here's the last one. Here we go, Sean.
All right.
Once when Kevin Costner was taking too long to come out of his trailer during shooting of A Perfect World, director Clint Eastwood just had an extra pretend to be Costner's character in a shot of him walking through a field with the camera up close so his image was blurred. Is that real or is that ridiculous? So, Sean, what do you think?
I got to say real. Got to keep going with the...
Real on that one? What do you think?
That's a tough one. I'm going to go ridiculous on this.
Okay, so here's for Sean. And here is for Curtis.
I think I know what it is already.
Yeah. So that is real. That actually happened. Costner was not happy about it. Let me tell you. I would imagine.
That's why I thought it was ridiculous.
He was not happy about it. so, hey, we did. I appreciate you, Sean. You are a big winner.
Yeah, you get the desktop indoor weather station.
Yeah, very cool. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you.
All right. Go Bears.
All right. You know it. Go Bears. Hey, Lisa Wolf is in Florida with her husband and her kids and her whole family.
How lucky she's avoiding the snow.
Last week she was there, too. I mean, it seems like she's been there for like months and months.
I think Lisa needs to share her vacation time with the two of us.
Yeah, well, she's coming back tomorrow. She will not be on the show tomorrow night. But she is back tomorrow, so she'll be back here next week co-hosting the show with me. Shante Garth, our producer, is in the booth. And it's time now for some classic radio. We're going to listen to a Jack Benny program. But I do want to remind our listeners about our new sponsor, Woodman's, which is a fantastic supermarket chain founded in 1990, employee-owned, largest grocery selection in the state. There are 16 locations, 12 stores in Wisconsin, 4 stores in Illinois. And the Illinois stores are in Buffalo Grove, Carpentersville, North Aurora, and Rockford. Now, they're open 24 hours a day, and here's the best thing of all. They're open 24 hours a day, but they have the lowest prices every day. This is a great place to shop.
And hearing you talk about it.
Yeah, and like guys like me and you, we get off the air at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning,
yeah.
Right? We still have to eat, so we can go to Woodman's. They're open.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what else?
What do you suggest from there? I haven't been there
in
a while.
They're massive. These places are massive.
I know.
You can get everything.
That's why it's
there.
So hard to choose sometimes.
They have organic food there. They have everything there. Now, here's what you need to do. When you shop at Woodman's, you just take a photo of your Woodman's receipt with your smartphone and email it to me at woodmanswgn@gmail.com. woodmanswgn@gmail.com. And you know what I'll do? I'll send you 12 classic radio shows via digital download right back to you. You can listen to them on any...
Dang.
Any
just for sending the picture of the receipt.
That's it. It's a thank you for shopping at Woodman's. If you don't shop at Woodman's, switch over to Woodman's and start getting your classic radio shows for free.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to have to start doing that now.
And they're a fantastic place to shop. We love Woodman's. All right, time now for Jack Benny. Everybody loves Jack Benny. This is an annual New Year's Eve show from December 31st, 1950. Jack Benny and all the gang, part one of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny Program, transcribed.
Jack Benny. program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Gentlemen, in a few short hours, it will be 1951, and another year will have passed into history. Yes, as the saying goes, time and tide wait for no man. So now we bring you a man who hasn't tried his luck with tide, but who has licked time, and here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. Now, Don, step away from the microphone and let Phil get on.
But, Jack...
Don, I said step away from the microphone and let Phil on.
But, Jack, why do you want Phil on so early?
Because this is New Year's Eve, and if we don't get him on fast, we may not have him at all. Believe me.
Now, wait a minute, Jackson. I heard what you said, and that may be true of the old Phil Harris. Harris the ne'er-do-well.
I see.
But I want you to know that the leopard has changed his spots.
Really, Phil?
Yes. For the year 1951, I'm going to be a new man. I'm going to spend more time around the house, devote myself to gardening. And who knows, someday my petunia bed may be the envy of the entire community.
Phil,
there is nothing more soul-satisfying than planting a seed, watching the little plant push its tender leaves through Mother Earth and blossom into a fragrant flower.
Phil, let me look at something there, will you?
A colorful bloom lifting its dew-kissed petals toward the warmth of the morning sun. Nature in all
her
glory. Oh, for
heaven's sake, Phil! You've got a script from Life Can Be Beautiful.
Oh.
Here's our script.
Well, here I am a bum again.
Yeah.
Jackson, tonight are we going
to... Wait
till
I walk back to my microphone.
Now cut that out!
Musicians.
Jack, they were whistling at me.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mary.
Happy New Year, Don.
Same to you, Mary.
Happy New Year, Phil. Phil, what are you daydreaming about?
Have you noticed the rich crimson colors of the poinsettias this year?
Phil, put down that script.
What script? I'm auditioning for a seed company.
Well, not now. We have a very special sketch to do tonight.
Oh, Jack, what? I got a letter from Mama this morning, and she wants me to thank you for the Christmas present you sent her.
Oh, good. Your mother, huh? What does the Harriet Craig of Plainfield have to say?
I've got it right here. I'll read it to you. My darling daughter, Mary, just a few lines to let you know that we had a wonderful Christmas and hope you had the same. Please thank Jack for the present he sent us. It brightened up our whole Christmas.
What did you send them, Mary?
A light bulb.
60 watts.
Tell Jack we appreciate it very much, and it goes with the socket he sent us last year.
Yeah.
We had the whole family here for dinner on Christmas Day. And your cousin Martha came with her new husband, who is quite famous. He once wrote Lincoln's Gettysburg Address on the head of a pin.
Well.
I know a lot of people have done it before, but he's the only one who ever did it with a typewriter.
Well, now that's ridiculous. What else, Mary?
We've had a terrible cold spell. And has been causing a lot of damage on the farm. For the last few weeks, we've been getting nothing but broken eggs.
Broken eggs?
The ground is so cold, the hens are laying them standing up.
Gee. Your mother's really going tonight, isn't she?
No other news, so we're close now. Wishing you and Jack a very happy new year. Your loving mother, Mama.
Say, Mary.
Wait a minute, Jack, there's more.
Oh.
P.S. Mary, I heard the program where you said grass reek instead of grease rag.
Mm-hmm.
How could you make a mistake like that when your sister Babe runs one?
You know, Mary, one thing about your mother. Come in. Well, look who's here. Well, hello, Dennis.
Do you mind if I sing my song right away? I'm in a hurry.
In a hurry? What for?
This is New Year's Eve, bub. I gotta keep rolling.
What?
Want to have a quick one with me, Phil?
Dennis!
Step aside, kid.
Dennis, what's come over you?
Pucker up, Liv. I'm gonna hang one on you.
Dennis. Dennis. What happened to you?
When I got off the bus, I bumped my head.
Oh.
It feels so good. I hope I can get the same bus going home.
I hope so.
It was a sunset bus.
Look, Dennis.
Once I did it on the Wiltshire bus. What a hangover.
All right. Now hold it. Dennis, what did you say when you first came in here?
Oh, I said, can I sing my song now? I'm in a hurry.
Look, kid, I heard your song at rehearsal and the orchestra was out of tune.
Hold it, Scrooge. Hold it.
Scrooge.
Look, Jackson, you can stop being sarcastic because in 1951, I'm making a lot of changes to improve the band. I'm adding some new musicians.
Really?
Yep. I'm adding another pianist, two violinists, a clarinetist, a harpist, and a chiropodist.
A chiropodist?
Yep. He was with Guy Lombardo for 3 years, 2 years with Wayne King, 4 years with Kay Kaiser.
Phil, a chiropodist is someone who works on people's feet.
He is?
Certainly, don't you ask questions?
Jackson, when a fella tells you he's Petrillo's cousin, we band leaders don't pin him down.
Oh. Well, Phil, this new man will have a picnic with your band. They never wear shoes anyway. How they can snap their toes when they roll those dice is beyond me. You know, boys, Phil, these boys of yours are absolutely amazing. But lucky for you, the phone rang because I had three more that were pips in here. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Perry, this is Rochester.
Rochester, I didn't expect to hear from you. I gave you New Year's Eve off. Are you at home?
No, I'm just reporting in from Central Avenue.
Oh, you've already started your evening. Well, where are you now?
Well, right now I'm at the Esquire Club, but we've got a lot more places to go before midnight.
More nightclubs?
Yeah, and you ought to see the way me and my friends are dressed. Top hat, white tie, and track shoes.
Track shoes?
This is New Year's Eve. We can't waste time in transit.
Oh.
We came in this club so fast we spiked the doorman.
Well, Rochester, I hope you have a real good time tonight. Are you with Susie?
No, I'm with Eloise.
Eloise? Hey, she's a new one, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, you like her, huh?
Boss, when she smiles, she looks like a Los Angeles landlord the day they signed D-Control.
Oh.
Bad living again, eh?
Never mind that. Now, look, Rochester, as I said before, I want you to have a lot of fun tonight, but don't overdo it. When do you think this party will end?
Well, there's no set time, boss. People just go home as their birthdays come up.
What?
Mine's in June, so don't wait up for me.
Oh, no, you don't. You'll be back home tomorrow, and that's final. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rochester.
Happy New Year, Curtis.
Happy New Year, Carl.
Yeah, that is the first portion of the Jack Benny program from December 31st, 1950, annual New Year's Eve party. Very funny show with Jack and all his gang. More of the WGN Radio Theater after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Lisa is on vacation. She'll be back next week. She's in Florida. She's probably listening. She said, she texted me a little earlier and she said, I'm in my PJs. I'll try to listen.
I would assume that she's probably sleeping.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's an hour earlier there.
No, it's an hour later there.
She's in Florida.
She's in Florida.
It's an hour earlier.
It's 1:35 in the morning. No. It's an hour later. It's 12:30 here. It's 1:30 in Florida. Correct, Roger?
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah, later. Curtis has been working 40 hours straight. Yeah. He's a little confused.
I'm a little confused. Yeah. Thank you for clearing that up.
You're welcome.
He was born confused.
That too.
How's it going, Roger?
Well, hi, guys.
Happy New Year to you.
That. We've got the young and the never been young over there.
The young and the aging.
And the aging, It's like a soap opera.
Right?
Yeah.
It is. That sounds like a soap opera.
Yeah.
I used to watch soap operas when I was a kid with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She got me hooked on them.
What was your favorite story?
For like one summer, I was hooked on Days of Our Lives.
Ooh.
This was when Bo and Hope were the whole big thing, you know.
Okay.
They were they were in love and they couldn't get together, and he was driving a motorcycle and it was like he was really cool and she was really beautiful. And I was like, man, but my mom still, she's 90 years old, she still watches Days of Our Lives every single day of her life.
Once they get hooked.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
And for like one summer, I was like, Mom, why do you do this? What are you, you know? And then I happened to watch a couple episodes, and I was like, when's the show on? Is it on tomorrow again?
You got hooked.
She's like, yeah, it's at noon tomorrow. And I was home. I would come in from outside. I'd be playing baseball. I was like, oh, whoops, noon.
Yeah.
Be running home. Days of Our Lives is on. I didn't tell any of my friends, though.
Well, no, because they would look at you and hit you with something.
Yeah, but I am telling, like, the whole world right now.
Well, but now you're old.
It's okay, yeah. It doesn't matter that I got over it, though. I beat it.
You became a better person.
You sure?
Yeah, I don't watch it anymore. Although, when I'm flipping through the channels and I see on the screen, on the guide, Days of Our Lives, I have this slight urge to turn it on.
It really?
But I wouldn't know anybody on the show now. You know,
well,
those people.
How many years has it been now since you watched
100, 112, about 112 years. Oh, I was probably 20 around the time.
When you started or when you stopped?
55 now, 20, so 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a long time ago.
It's a long time.
That is a long time ago, my friend. Yeah.
And of course, your old-time radio shows started soap operas.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and why do
Ma Perkins and Little Orphan Annie? That was a kind of a soap opera, Orphan Annie.
The same
kids.
Kind of stories for the adults, where you know the continuing stories, and they call them soap operas because
they were sponsored by Procter & Gamble,
by
makers
soap,
of soap,
the soap
companies,
soap for your laundry, for your washing. That's right.
Yeah.
That's how they became soap operas.
Yeah, Dove and all, and, Rinso and all of these. There was other ones, too.
A lot of brands that aren't around anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. These we don't play soap operas. You know, people, we get that every once in a while. Hey, how come you don't play Ma Perkins or some of these soap operas? And it's tough to do that because, you know, there's never an end to the story. They just keep going on and on.
Exactly.
It's like we would play a 15-minute chapter and people would be like, okay, what was that?
Yeah, and they'd be wondering when you're going to play the next one.
Right.
Yeah.
So we like to play the half hour complete in its own half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're done with Jack Benny, we have Richard Diamond, Private Detective. It's like it'll be a murder mystery. It's done in a half hour.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
You get the whole thing, the setup and then the murder and he solves the crime and you're happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Sings a song at the end.
Oh,
and that's
nice.
About it. Yeah.
It's that song that does it for
me. But before we do that, we have to listen to the end of Jack Benny. So you want to do that?
I would love to do that.
All right. Let's listen now to the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
Gee, Rochester is so fortunate. New Year's and his day off come at the same time. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since this is New Year's Eve, we're going to revive an old custom and present our New Year's fantasy entitled The New Tenant, or Goodbye 50, Hello 51. Now, I will play the part of the old year, 1950. And Don, you will be the world.
Oh, Jack, every time you do one of these fantasies, you make me play the world. Just once, I'd like to be the little New Year.
You play the part of the little New Year? Don, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous? Why? I could wear a diaper, couldn't I?
Don, you not only can't wear a diaper now, but there's a great element of doubt in my mind that you ever could. So you'll play the part of the world. Just come dressed in your latitudes. Or if it's cold, wear your longitudes. Now, let's see.
Jack, how come you're getting most of the jokes in the program today?
My writer did that instead of buying me a Christmas present. Cheap guys. Now, Phil, you will play the part of Uncle Sam, and Mary, you'll be Uncle Sam's wife, Columbia. Now, you and Uncle Sam have 48 children.
48 children?
Wait till Alice hears about this.
It's only a play. Now, Dennis, I have a very difficult part for you.
Oh, you have?
Yes, you will be several of the foreign countries in the United Nations, such as France.
Oui, oui.
England.
Rather.
Mexico.
Buenas noches, señor.
And Russia.
How do you do?
Now, Dennis, this is a very serious play, so let's get started. As the curtain rises, the old year, 1950, is in his room packing, and Columbia is helping him. Curtain. Music. Oh, Columbia. Columbia, will you come here a minute, please?
Well, what do you want, 1950?
Give me a hand with my packing, will you? Got to get out of here by midnight and make room for the new tenant.
Oh, yes. Little 51 will be here soon.
Yep. Soon as I'm packed, I'll be on my way. Sure wish I could take that television set with me.
Why?
That Faye Emerson. Wow! Say, Columbia, where's your husband, Uncle Sam? Like say goodbye to him.
Oh, he's meeting with the UN again. There's so many things for him to straighten out these days.
Yeah, but Sam's been in a lot of tough situations before, and he's always come out all right. Well, almost got the suitcase filled. Now, let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, I want to take some of this music. Irene, good night, Irene. Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night. Yep, gonna take that one with me. If Irene don't want to go to sleep, why force her? Now, let's see. Yep. Yes, I got about everything.
Hiya, Rube.
Hiya.
What was that?
Oh, one of them flying saucers. Now, let's see. Yes, sirree. Guess I've packed about everything. Well, look who's here. It's Uncle Sam.
Hello, Sam.
Howdy, Columbia. I just dropped in to say goodbye to 1950.
Right nice of you, Sam, coming to say goodbye to me, considering all the trouble I gave you.
Yep, you've sure been a rough year.
Well, I know I made some mistakes, but...
Mistakes? Right off the bat, you froze up my son, Florida. Then you practically ruined me with the coal and railroad strikes. And, brother, what you done to Notre Dame?
Now, don't be too hard on 50, Sam. He did his best.
Well, thanks, Columbia. Tried, anyway. Well, I better get going.
Say, don't forget to say goodbye to my 48 kids.
I won't. They're my favorite little... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Columbia. How come you're sitting there knitting?
Oh, ain't she told you?
Told me what?
We're expecting two more, Hawaii and Alaska.
Where?
It's kind of tough knitting woolen underwear and grass skirts at the same time.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Hello, everybody.
Well, well, if it ain't the world.
Hello, world. How's the universe treating me?
No, I don't know.
Say, world, you don't look too happy.
Well, I haven't been feeling so well lately. You remember how sick I was from 1914 to 1918?
Uh-huh.
Then I had a relapse from 1939 to 1945.
Yep, I heard about it, but I thought you were all over that.
A few months ago, I suddenly developed a big pain around my 38th parallel.
Well, why don't you go see a doctor?
I did, and he knew what was wrong with me as soon as he took my blood count. Too many red cells.
I'd feel a lot better if they'd get something accomplished downstairs in the U.N.
Say, they're having a meeting there now. Let's open the door and listen.
Order, order. Let's have a little order for the next speaker.
Look, the Russian delegate is getting up.
Yeah.
People of the world, gentlemen and comrades, we of the Russian Soviets wish for peace, and we are prepared to make a fair compromise. All we ask is a small buffer area. Of course, this would mean moving the 38th parallel slightly. We would like to move it somewhere around Alabama and Mississippi.
Now we would like to hear from...
I am not finished with my speech yet. Since I am here in America, I want to tell you the terrible things I have seen with my own eyes. Peasants are forced to ride in automobiles. In California, some of the peasants are even forced to ride with the top down. And they are wearing dark glasses so nobody should see how much they are suffering. And tomorrow in the concentration camp they call the Rose Bowl, 100,000 people will be forced to huddle together to watch a football game. That is why I say that...
Just a moment.
What is wrong?
Why is it, Mr. Russian delegate, that every time we discuss a matter here, you stall and delay the debate for weeks and months so it never ends?
Well, if you must know, the longer I stay here, the less time I have to spend in Russia.
Close the door, Sam. I've heard enough. Well, Columbia, it's almost midnight. Better get my bags together and... Say, the New Year's coming a few seconds early.
What do you mean, old-timer?
Look out the window. Here he comes now without any clothes on. Just a cloth wrapped around him. Hey, are you the New Year?
No, I'm on my way home from Santa Anita.
Doggone, I thought sure that was him. Well, let's see. I got my bags packed, got my hourglass. I guess I'm... Hey, that must be him now. Come in.
Hi, Rube.
Gone, there goes that saucer again.
I didn't see anything.
Neither did I.
Well, some people do and some don't. That's the first stroke of 12. I wonder what's keeping the new cannon. Little fella should be here by now.
Don't worry, he'll show up.
Now, before I leave, Sam, here's a little tip for you. Keep your shirt on, but your sleeves rolled up, and everything will be all right.
Don't worry, old-timer. They can push Uncle Sam just so far. Then he starts pushing back.
I know, Sam, but you're going to need a lot of things to push with. So keep your factories humming. People have to work a little harder and do without a few things, but they did it before, and they can do it again. Well... Time's a fleeting, but I can't leave till that little shaver gets here.
That must be him now.
Yeah. Come in. Yep, it's the little New Year. Hello, son.
Hello, old-timer. Isn't he cute?
Yeah, I bet he don't weigh much more than Sinatra.
Come here, sonny. I want you to meet Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia.
Glad to know you, folks.
Hello, Sonny.
Hi, bub. Make yourself to home.
And say, I almost forgot. This is the world. Want you to meet him, too.
Hello, son.
Hello. So he's the world, huh?
Yes, sir.
Gosh, there's enough room on him for everybody.
Well, there should be, and yet... Oh, I don't quite understand it myself. Well, it's getting late, and I'll have to be moseying along, son, but there are a few things you ought to know.
What is it, old-timer?
Well, the most important thing I want you to remember is to take good care of Uncle Sam here. You ain't going to have no picnic, 51. You may get some complaints about high prices and taxes.
Gee, I'm a little discouraged already.
Oh, I wouldn't be too discouraged. It looks bad, but some good things are happening. Some people are beginning to understand each other a little better. A couple of weeks ago, a fellow called Ralph Bunch, grandson of a slave, went to Stockholm to pick up his Nobel Peace Award. Take good care of him, sonny. We need men like that.
I will.
Then there's some more fellas I want you to take care of. You'll hear about them. Ike Eisenhower and Douglas MacArthur. They've been helping Sam for a long time. There's some others, too. Sam will tell you who they are, won't you, Sam?
I sure will.
Reason I'm mentioning this, sonny, is because I want you to be a little more careful than I was. See, I lost some mighty good boys while I was here. One of them just recently. A fellow named Walton Walker. He was a general and a darn good one, too. And then there were thousands of others who weren't generals and weren't even officers. Just plain GIs. But they're all doing their job for Uncle Sam. Weren't they, Sam?
Yep. I'll never forget them.
Then there was another fellow we lost during my time.
Was he a soldier, too?
Well, you could call him that. Sort of a singing soldier. Used to go around entertaining everybody. Singing songs and telling jokes, making people happy. I wish you could have seen him.
He was good, huh?
Good? Why, son, when he'd get down on one knee and sing about his mammy, the people would stand up and cheer. And after he sang and sang and sang and you thought he was all through, he'd look right at you and say, "You ain't heard nothing yet." There's the 11th gong.
Gee, I feel older already.
Well, you got a big responsibility, son. Just as soon as I go, it's all yours. Well, I guess I'll be on my way. Gosh, I hate to go. There's so many things I wanted to do. But you're young and strong, and I guess I'm leaving it in good hands. Goodbye, son.
Goodbye.
So long, Sam. So long, Columbia.
Goodbye, old-timer.
Goodbye, 1950.
So long, world. Keep smiling. Good night, everybody, and a Happy New Year from all of us.
Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year!
Be sure to hear Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. Transcribed, this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Jack Benny program from New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1950, with their annual New Year's Eve party with Jack and all his gang. That was originally sponsored by Lucky Strike. We did remove all of the Lucky Strike commercials. Can't play cigarette commercials on the radio. Plus, we don't want you to smoke. Right, Curtis? You don't smoke, do you?
No. Never done. Never have, never will.
Yeah, that's heard on CBS, Jack Benny program. Somebody texted in and said there's some of the same actors are on there, right?
630, Hope is still on Days of Our Lives, the original actress. Victor is still on. Maggie, you would recognize if you still.
Victor, you mean Victor Caracas or whatever his name was? He was the bad guy on there I was watching it. And I think that is actually played. No, there was somebody else. I think Jennifer Aniston's father was on that show. I don't think he was Victor. I think he was somebody else. But who else is on it?
That was it.
Yeah, there's two actors still.
They said you could recognize a few of them.
I'd recognize that they would be 35 years older, but I would.
John Aniston.
Yeah, John Aniston.
Plays Victor Kiriakis.
Oh, he is Victor. Yep. Still. He's still on that show.
And he looks as old as you probably think he does.
Yeah. Well,
who else did you say?
He was like a bad guy on the show. He was a bad, bad bird on the program. Well, Hope, she was played by, I can't remember her real name on the show, but
Christian Alfonso.
Oh, Christian Alfonso, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so there I'll, man, yeah, my next time I have that urge, you know, when I'm on Guide and I see Days of Our Lives, might have to press.
Now, you know, your Victor, you said, was a bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently he has a son played on the show. His name is Sonny Kiriakis.
Okay.
Played by Freddie Smith, so maybe the meanness has transferred through the family.
Well, the
business.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So he's probably a bad guy, too.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Well, more.
See, now we're getting you hooked.
No way, man. Don't do it to me. Come on, man. I can't do this again. I can't spend a whole summer watching.
That's what you're
going to
be doing on New Year's Eve. You're just going to be binge watching Days of Our Lives.
No,
yep, there you go.
It won't happen.
He's got to catch up.
But we have some commercials. We'll be right back. Does this mean I can bring my toothpaste, my deodorant, things on the plane? Is that what that means, Roger and Curtis?
Yeah, I think
if
so.
If I join TSA.
Yeah.
TSA PreCheck's a great idea.
Yeah, because they're constantly throwing out my toothpaste when I go through the. Through the security there. They're like, nope, you look like that toothpaste is not going on there with you. And I'm like...
Well, is it a too large of a size?
Probably.
Yeah.
You need to get the travel size.
You know I'm a scofflaw. I don't like to follow those.
I know you are.
Kinda...
You like pushing the limits.
Yeah, I don't like to follow those rules.
Nah.
You know,
You walk through the line and you go, do you know who I am?
Yeah, you know who I am? Hey, you know...
I'm Carl Amari.
Hey, you know, on my way. I'm going through. I'm not taking my shoes off or my belt. Yeah. You don't like it? And then all of a sudden I'm in handcuffs. And I'm at Cook County.
Yeah,
and I'm
right.
calling Roger to come get me.
Yeah. Nope, it's your toothpaste. You stand by
all,
it.
All for a toothpaste.
All for your
toothpaste.
I can
picture that phone call, Roger.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Roger. It's like 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
hey, Roger.
Yeah.
How you doing? It's Carl. What? Who? Carl. Mari. You know, from WGN.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What'd you do now?
Click.
I'm wondering if you could come down to Cook County.
Boy, he doesn't hang up.
And bring $1,000 because my bail's $10,000. And I think you got to be, 10%? I should not know this. I don't know why I know this, but I should not know this.
Past experience.
I think there's something to be said there, Roger.
I think so. Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Where are your house keys so I can go get the money from your house?
Let me tell you something, Roger. Yeah. I wouldn't last 6 minutes in Cook County
that
jail.
Long,
so
huh?
Yeah, so you would have to.
I don't
you
think it'd last
to,
30 seconds.
Right. I'm 6 minutes would be a long time. If I ever call you from Cook County jail, please.
Do I look for your last will and testament?
Please come and get me. I promise to make it worth your while. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me there.
Would you call Roger or would you call Lisa first?
Lisa would not get it. She'd be like, she wouldn't answer.
Yeah,
she wouldn't answer the phone.
She would see his name.
If I called any time after 10:30, she wouldn't answer the phone. So I need to have, you know, you gotta have my back, Roger. I would come get you.
Well, I know you would.
Listen, if you called me from Cook County Jail and you were like, Carl, I'm, you know, it's been a big misunderstanding. They wouldn't let me go on the plane with my toothpaste. I would be there in, like, no time. I would be bailing you out. I wouldn't leave you at Cook County. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, really?
I would not do that
to you. I feel like Carl would bring a bunch of classic radio DVDs
in here.
To the jail. Yeah,
play it for the guys.
trade it away.
DVDs, the radio audio on DVDs, maybe CDs.
Yeah.
I would be handing them out to all the guys. I'd be like, I'd find the biggest guy at Cook County, be like, hey, want to be my classic radio friend?
That's going to go
protect
really far.
Protect me. Oh, God.
You should get all the Jack Benny
Boy,
programs in
where
the world
this show goes when we go off the rails, when this we go is, off the train tracks.
See what happens when Lisa's not around to keep us on
crazy.
The straight and narrow.
You know, our Real or Ridiculous in our next hour is all about Sylvester Stallone. Some fun stuff. So don't miss that.
Oh, Adrian.
We also, Yeah, take her to the zoo. Really, that's like my favorite line from that movie.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, take her to the zoo.
Take her to the zoo.
Richard Diamond, private detective from 1951. One of the best detective shows from the golden age of radio. Dick Powell played it really kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, kind of loose. And then he would sing a song at the end of the broadcast. Really a cool show. You're gonna like it.
My favorite is the Boston Blackie.
Me too.
The more that I'm listening to Richard Diamond,
yeah,
the more I'm liking it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Richard Diamond was a top quality, really great show. You know, the best detective shows were Boston Blackie, Sam Spade, The Saint with Vincent Price.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Diamond and Dragnet. I mean, Dragnet was considered a detective show, I would guess, you know, police detective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming your way in the next hour, so don't miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We had a late start this evening, started at midnight instead of 11 p.m. So we are not going to play The Great Gildersleeve, but we will play Richard Diamond, Private Detective. We'll put the Gildersleeve show back on the shelf. We'll bring it back out on another show. But, we have Richard Diamond, Private Detective, Dick Powell as a star of that 1951 broadcast coming your way in just a few moments. But first, it's time to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? It's all about Sylvester Stallone, good old... Sly Stallone.
I saw the new Creed the other day with him.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I saw it too.
Yeah.
Really good. I took my daughter and my son. They loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
absolutely. What do they win, whoever is going to play?
Well, whoever plays with us, they will win a Never Measure.
Ah,
it's easily center.
I'm dying
level
to get one of those.
Yeah, it's hang on your
I have
your
no
wall
clout whatsoever here at the station to get one of those.
You're
going
to have to get some more pull
we
here.
We give them out, but I can't get one.
I mean, we had all those Winter Classic tickets, too, that we were giving away, too.
I didn't get any of those.
I know. Yeah. Oh, well. But anyways, the Never Measure is the prize for the winner. You can get it to hang all your wall decorations fast and eliminate the need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. Veteran-owned and made in the USA. Get yours at nevermeasure.com.
Okay, so call now to play the game, 312-981-7200. Win a Never Measure. Play the game with us, Sylvester Stallone. What caller would you like? Caller five. He has some pizza in his mouth. So caller five. How's that pizza? It's pretty good. Looks good.
It is very good.
Yeah.
Chris Bowden was.
What
very
is it? Giordano's or what is it?
It is Giordano's.
All right. Call us now. Play the game. We'll be right back. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. Curtis, let's get ridiculous.
I'm ready.
And who is our caller? I don't see a name yet. Okay. We have Dan. What's up, Dan?
Correct. How are you, Carl?
I am well, Dan. How are you?
I love this show.
I'm so glad you love the show. What's going on? What are you doing tonight? Where are you headed? What are you doing? Are you home? Paint me a picture.
I am. If it's okay, my cat Bosco is sitting next to me.
Bosco.
And if he can help during
Stallone questions. Oh, yeah, he can.
I'm more of a dog guy.
Yeah, well, you know, Stallone's dog was Rufus in the movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, Bosco, what's going on, Bosco? Is it perking up when I say Bosco? Is his ears?
Not right now. He seems half asleep, but
all right.
He might wake up if I need help.
All right. Well, here we go, Dan. It's all about Sylvester Stallone, and Curtis is going to play too, but here we go. Stallone's trademark snarl and slightly slurred speech are his homage to his hero, Marlon Brando, and this was suggested to him when he was attending Meisner's School of Acting. Is that real or is that ridiculous? What do you think, Dan?
I think that's ridiculous.
Think it's ridiculous? What do you think, Curtis?
You know what? Just for the heck of it, I'm going to go real.
All right. So here's yours, Curtis.
Dang.
And here... Dan's got it right now. This is really... Are you ready for this? Very interesting.
Yeah.
So his trademark snarl and slightly slurred speech... Say that five times fast.
Yeah, really.
...is complications during his birth. The doctor used two pairs of forceps, which accidentally severed a facial nerve, causing paralysis in the lower left side of his face, including parts of his lip, tongue, and chin. What do you think of that?
That's really interesting.
Yeah. All right, so that's the number one. Here's number two. So Dan's on the board. All right, okay. In the late 1960s, Stallone found himself homeless for weeks in New York and slept in the Port Authority bus terminal. Is that real or is that ridiculous? What do you think, Dan?
I think that's real. Bosco's giving me a fat lock.
He's giving
up.
You the up the paw up sign.
Yeah, I'm fat lock.
I'm gonna go with Dan and Bosco on this one. I'm also gonna say it's
so
real.
So real. You guys both say real. Yeah. Okay. That is real. He was hard times in the late 60s for him. Okay, here we go. Ready? Dan's got two. Two out of two. Not bad.
He's doing great.
Bosco's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
It took Stallone only three days to write the Rocky script. Is that real or is that ridiculous? What do you think, Dan?
I think that's real.
You think that's real?
I think that's ridiculous.
So, Dan?
What?
Curtis?
It took him three
Curtis,
days.
Curtis, did you
to
get any right? You got one right.
I got
right.
one right. I got the second
so
one right.
So Dan got all three right. Now listen to this. The film, Rocky, was shot in just 28 days. It only took 3 days to write the script, and it earned $225 million. Now this is in those dollars, right, in the 70s, in global box office. It was the highest grossing film of 1976, won three Oscars, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Film Editing. Yeah, 3 days. He wrote that script.
3 days he wrote that script.
Yeah. Yo, Adrian is right.
Yeah.
Take her to the zoo. That's my favorite. I love that line. I don't know.
To the zoo.
That line, for some reason. I'll never forget, Dan, I'll never forget when Rocky came out. I'll never forget 1976. I went to the show and saw Rocky.
Me too.
Did you see it in the show, too?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that was a movie that really moved me. It was like...
Me too.
You know, that was a movie that just... tugged at every heartstring.
And
was
to think
amazing.
It's still successful, like continuing on.
Yeah,
all that.
76
still making them.
Sequels, 76 sequels, I think. 79 sequels, I believe there's been. Hey, man, when it's working, why mess with it, right? Why change what's working? Why fix what's not broke, as they say? Well, way to go, Dan. You're a big winner. You won a Never Measure. I've been dying for a Never Measure. I don't know.
You're making Carl very jealous over
very
here.
Very jealous. Way to go, Dan. You're a great contestant. You did terrific.
Thank you very much.
Happy New Year to you, buddy. All right, Dan is a big winner, and it is time now for our next classic radio show. We're going to listen to Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This was a series created by Blake Edwards of Pink Panther fame. He directed all the Pink Panther movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, prior to becoming a big-time director, he was a writer and creator of classic radio shows, created several of them. This show came to NBC Radio 1949, lasted to 53, and it starred actor-crooner Dick Powell. And Dick Powell played Philip Marlowe in RKO's film Murder, My Sweet. And so, all of a sudden, he wasn't this glamour guy anymore. He was like a rough-and-tumble kind of detective guy. So they were like, hey, he'd be good for this show. And he was. He was excellent as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. And at the beginning of the show, there's a whistling. You know, there's a whistling to the beat. And that's actually Dick Powell doing the whistling. Huh. He was a terrific whistler.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a great singer and a great actor.
Can you do like the whistle like really, really loud? Okay, so you can do it like normal volume too.
I could do the theme,
yeah.
But I'm not a good whistler. Oh, well. I'm good at other things, though.
You know who was a good whistler?
I can make cereal. I make toast really well. What's
you know,
that?
Who was a good whistler?
Who?
The Whistler.
Yeah, there was actually a woman, Dorothy.
I know.
Dorothy something or other.
Yeah.
Her last name was not something or other. But it was Dorothy something. Pretty good, Roger. You know what? If I need a whistler for the Whistler reenactment, you're the man.
Thank you very much.
Very welcome, sir. Okay, it's time for Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Let's go back to December 28th, 1951. This is called the Plaid Overcoat Case. Dick Powell, Part 1 of Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Mm-hmm. transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency.
Help.
Rick, what's the matter?
Just that, Helen, dear. Help. I haven't had a client in 3 weeks.
Oh, well, I'll take you to dinner tonight and fatten you up.
No, I'm not hungry. You couldn't just send the money, could you?
No, go ahead and starve. Ferdy Parker asked me to dinner anyway. You remember Ferdy.
Oh, sure, your old boyfriend, the very old one.
Rick Ferdy's really a very nice boy. He plays polo divinely.
So do horses.
Well, do I go out with Ferdy or don't I?
Helen, and lose the chance of watching me stuff myself? Now, you tell Ferdy you've got to do some research on a tapeworm. I'll see you in 10 minutes. Bye.
Bye.
Diamond?
That's right, but I'm leaving now. Come back tomorrow.
This won't wait, Lamar. My name's Duke Crandall.
How do you do?
Pretty well in the dark.
Rick, dear, I know it's a nasty habit, but I get so annoyed when people keep me waiting over an hour.
Oh, hello, Helen. Well, I took a nap.
That's nice. Bye.
Honey, now wait a minute. 13 guys just beat me up.
What did he look like?
Well, he was very big and it was dark and I couldn't see him.
Maybe it was Ferdy Parker. He's really a brute at heart.
No, this guy was breathing.
Rick, did someone really hit you?
Honey, I may be kidding, but this bump on my head isn't.
But why? The man didn't just walk in and hit you for no reason at all, did he?
No, it's a hobby.
Rick.
Helen, if you don't believe me, just sit tight. I'm going down to the 5th Precinct to see Walt Levinson. I'll drop around and show you my bruises.
Hello, Rick. How's the... Well, what happened to you?
I got engaged. She was lovely. Use gunpowder.
Better get a beefsteak for that eye.
My eye's not hungry. What I want now is to find a guy, Walt.
Who?
Said his name is Duke Crandall.
Crandall? We've been looking for the Duke ever since he jumped bail on a blackmail charge.
Oh? Know where he is now?
If we did, he'd be in jail. How'd you get mixed up with him?
I wish I knew. He just came into the office and sold me a fistful of dreams.
You sure it was the Duke? What'd he look like?
Oh, I couldn't see him too well in the dark. He was a big guy. Wore a flashy plaid overcoat.
Yeah, the overcoat fits. Duke's a natty dresser. You can look over his record for yourself, Rick.
So you're looking for this guy?
Yeah, he's somewhere in the city. It's anybody's guess where.
What about this blackmail charge?
He was bleeding a city official. Duke used to work for Benny Rathman, the gambler. Some think Benny was behind it, but Duke's the only one we could grab off.
Mm. Who put up his bail? Rathman?
Yeah. Mm. Until now, we thought maybe Benny had killed Duke after he bailed him out, so he couldn't pin the job on him. Here's a package.
Don't worry, he's still alive. I got the bruises to prove it. What about this Benny Rathman? You think he'd know where Duke is?
Hard to say. If he did, I think he'd try and get rid of him. See, the DA's been trying to pin something on Ben for a long time. And if we find Duke and Benny is implicated in the blackmail, it'll be the DA's meat.
Oh, I catch. So if Duke's smart, he let Benny bail him out and then goes in hiding before Benny can get to him.
Uh-huh.
That'll make him twice as hard to find.
You're really going looking for him, huh?
Yeah, might as well. I don't mind getting slugged, but I'd like to know the reason why. Thanks, Walt. I left the 5th Precinct and hailed a cab. The fresh air made my head feel better, but my pride hurt all the way to the Blue Chip Club, owned and operated by Benny Rathman. As we pulled up, I lit a Camel, came to a little, and when I walked inside the club, I found a dissipated pianist playing worn-out love songs on a worn-out piano.
Like my playing?
Not particularly.
Me neither.
Your boss around?
Maybe.
Back room?
Maybe.
Alone?
Again, maybe.
Thanks for the brilliant conversation. Maybe.
I enjoyed it.
Hey.
Hello, Betty.
Well, Diamond. Don't you ever knock?
Only a gin, I mean.
Well, grab a chair. Not every day we get a visit from thee, Richard Diamond.
Well, roll down your sleeves. Your goosebumps are showing.
I'm allergic to stupid remarks.
Benny, Duke Crandall used to be on your payroll. Where is he now?
Looking for the Duke, eh? Now, that's a coincidence. So am I.
And you just don't happen to know where he is, huh?
That's right. I put up bail for Duke and then he skipped. I don't like that.
Go on.
That's all. Duke cost me a lot of money. Yeah, I'd sure like to have a little chat with him.
Mm-hmm. Only I bet Duke would wind up speechless. You know, if he's caught, you'll be in hot water, Benny.
So, I've been in hot water before.
Not recently, I'll bet.
Keep it up. I may grow to hate you.
I'll work on it.
Look, Diamond, that blackmail wraps all Dukes. I'm an honest businessman.
For that line, you should be a comedian. Benny, Did Duke ever mention my name around here?
Maybe. He used to swear a lot.
Oh, very funny.
Why all this interest in Duke, Snooper?
I owe him something, that's all. I'd like to pay my debts.
Oh, gee, I'm sure sorry I can't help you, pal.
Save the tears while I leave, Benny.
Wait a minute. Here.
What's this?
The address of Duke's old girlfriend, name's Patty Carroll. She won't talk to me, but maybe she'll help you.
Well, it's worth a try.
And if you should locate the Duke, let me know, huh? I'd still like to have that little talk with him.
Maybe I will. If he's in any condition to talk. I left the Blue Chip and went across town to the flat of one Patty Carroll. Benny described her as a one-time girlfriend of Duke's, and when she opened the door, I had respect for Duke's taste. She had the kind of figure that drives architects mad, and any other type of man, too, for that matter.
Hi. You the television man?
Do I look like a television man?
How should I know? You're cute.
Well, thanks. So are you.
I guess they could have cute television men.
I don't see why not. But I'm not one of them.
Oh, shoot. 3 days I've been waiting for that set.
Heartbreaking.
Ain't it, though? My brother says, Patty, that's my name, Patty. He says you gotta get a television set, see a lot of educational programs and such. He says it makes you appreciate the finer things in life.
Yeah, like radio.
So I get me a television set, but the guy ain't shown up yet. What do you want?
Well, I'm glad you got around to that. Honey, I'm gonna want a little information.
I'm no library.
I'm no bookworm. Mind if I come in?
All depends. You a gentleman?
All depends. I eat with a fork.
You sure look all right. Only I wish you were the television man.
Patty, at times, so do I.
Now, what's on your mind?
Duke Crandall.
Oh, you must be a cop then. Hey, I like cops. I used to think it was fun to date hoods, but my brother says, Patty, that's what he calls me. Patty, he says, you gotta quit running around with the hoods. So now I like cops.
Very commendable change.
Yeah. Hoods are always getting sent to prison. And who did you say you were looking for?
Duke Crandall.
Oh, yeah. I used to date Duke, till my brother said...
Where's Duke now, Patty?
I don't know. We broke up, Duke and me. He was always slapping me and ruining my makeup.
Look, honey, think hard, will you? Do you know any of Duke's friends who might know where he is now?
Let me see. Yeah. I know one guy, Joey Thompson. Him and Duke used to play cards every Friday.
Where does Thompson live?
How should I know?
Just wishful thinking. Mind if I use your phone?
I guess not. Only don't be long. The television man might be trying to call me.
This'll only take a minute.
Homicide, Lieutenant Levinson.
Well, I got a problem. You know a guy named Joey Thompson?
Thompson? I know Charlie. Oh, yeah, yeah, Joe Thompson. Yeah, I know him. Used to be a small-time pickpocket.
Where can I get in touch with him?
Last I heard, he had a legit job. Runs a watch repair shop on Fountain Street. You can get the address in the phone book.
Thanks, Walt. Call you later if anything develops. And thank you, Patty.
You leaving? Don't you want to stay and watch television when it gets here?
Oh, no thanks. No. All that violence makes me nervous.
Well, drop in again anytime.
Hoppy goes on at 8, doesn't he? Patty had few brains and many curves and was the type you hated to leave. But Joey Thompson might lead me to Duke Crandall. And curves can be dangerous if you don't watch your speed, I always say. The hall outside Patty's rock, and as I walked down it, I had the strangest feeling that someone was behind me. 2 seconds later, the strange feeling became one I was thoroughly familiar with. Oh, the wall spun around, and I spun with them. But on the way down, I caught sight of what had hit me. An ugly blackjack held by an ugly hand sticking out of the prettiest plaid overcoat you ever saw.
All right, let's take a break from Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Curtis, you hear the quality? Roger, do you hear the quality of this Richard Diamond Private Detective show?
I certainly do. It's like he's right behind me.
That's because we have over 100,000 radio shows direct from the master recordings. Either the transcription discs or the actual, some of them were on tape. You know, Bing Crosby only recorded on tape, you know, in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So we have either the big reel tapes, you know, the 10-inch reels, you've seen those, full track, you know, or the transcription discs. And we have those, and we have one of the best engineers on the planet that takes these shows and gets rid of every click and pop, you know, Michael Gastella.
Right.
And we offer these shows that you hear on the air. Now, when we play these on the air, a lot of times we have to remove the commercials because you can't play cigarette commercials or time restraints. You know, sometimes we'll have to eliminate a song here and there. Very little, but once in a while. But the shows that we have as part of the Classic Radio Club, those are complete, original, as broadcast, all of the commercials, and we pick out, I pick out 10 shows every single month and put them on 5 CDs in a beautiful collector case. These are really nice collections, and they're yours if you join the Classic Radio Club. Now, we also have a digital option.
Well, I was just going to say, aren't you having a deal that's coming up soon, too?
We do, I have a deal coming up, but I can't talk about it yet. But can't talk about it yet. But the Classic Radio Club is a tremendous, tremendous program if you're interested in collecting classic radio shows. The very first month, you can have the 5 CDs for only $4.99 plus shipping and handling.
That's a steal.
Yeah, plus shipping and handling.
But talk about that. You were just about to say the digital download option.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, if you don't want, I almost said cassettes.
Yeah.
If you don't want CDs, you know, some people don't want CDs. Right. I'm a CD guy. I like to have the CD. I like to take the collection and put it on my shelf, you know, every month.
Sure.
Build the collection. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a collector, you know. But some people would rather have them just digitally.
Right, available either on their phone or on their computer or their listening
device.
And
they're always there. They're will always be. We have you know, drives that we're dedicating to this. So so if you want to join it via the digital option, that's also the first month only $4.99. But then after that, it's only $9.99. So less than $10, you get the 10 shows every month. Perfect sound quality, like we're playing here, and all my liner notes. I create these, write all these liner notes with fun facts and things.
Yeah.
So that's the club. Join it. I think you'll love it. We have hundreds and hundreds of people that have joined the Classic Radio Club. Now, how do you do that? Just go to ClassicRadioClub.com. ClassicRadioClub.com. And you'll see that there's the CD membership. And then there's the digital membership. Are you there at the site right now?
I'm waiting for Google to load, but yes, I'm going there. There it is.
What's it look like? How's it look?
It's really nice. Yeah, the CD membership, the digital membership.
Yeah,
it's all right there.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Wow, the case is really nice.
Yeah, the case. It's every single month.
First class. This guy goes first class.
the pic. There's the thank you, Roger. There's the pictures of the stars on the packaging. It's four color.
You got a nice picture on your bio.
You like my biopic?
Yeah, I'm looking at your biopic right now.
My biopic. That's a good 10 years ago, I would say.
I was going to say, you had more hair back then.
I had a little more hair, and it was not as gray in that biopic. But go to the Classic Radio Club at classicradioclub.com. We'd love you to become a member. And there's testimonials there. You see the pops up?
I was just looking at that. Yep.
A lot of our members are sending in testimonials telling us how much they enjoy being part of the club and getting these shows in crystal clear quality. All right.
Yeah, looks good. Sounds good.
Let's get back now to a crystal clear quality show on Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
And now back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
At approximately 5 p.m., I had been worked over by a man named Duke Crandall, wearing a plaid overcoat. 1 hour later, I received the second installment, again by the man in the plaid overcoat. Monotonous? You know it.
Hey. Mm. Hey, wake up.
Oh.
Come on, that's a boy. You all right?
Oh, yeah. Well, my head feels like a mashed potato.
I heard the noise outside. You shouldn't lie around on the floor.
Yeah, I know.
So I dragged you in here.
Oh, thank you, Patty. I'll remember you in my will, which may be in effect before long.
Who slugged you?
Your old boyfriend, Duke Crandall.
Oh, that bully. What's he got against you?
That's what I want to find out.
Here, let me fix that ice pack.
No thanks, honey.
Hey, you shouldn't get up now.
I know, I like to show off. Where's your phone book?
Over there.
Thanks. Now, let's see. Patty, what does T come after?
I should know.
Here it is. Thompson Watch Repair, 19 Fountain Street.
You gonna see Joey?
That's the general idea.
I bet he won't talk to you. He can smell a cop a mile away.
Well, they can't shoot me for trying. On second thought, maybe they can.
Besides, maybe Duke ain't even in town. Maybe he's gone back to Arkansas.
No, he's still around. What did you say?
I said maybe Duke's gone back to Arkansas. That's where he came from.
Does Joey Thompson know that?
I guess so. Duke's always blowing about it.
Thanks again, Patty.
Okay. Say, you ain't gonna drive in that condition, are you?
Of course. I'm too dizzy to walk. I stepped out into the hall. This time, I looked carefully around to make sure no plaid overcoats were following me. The hall was empty, and immediately my head felt better. 10 minutes later, I arrived at Joey's watch repair shop on Fountain Street. I stopped outside, pulled my pants up too high, turned my hat rim back, and then went in.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Well, my name's Harold Appelknocker from Big Lake, Arkansas.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Appelsocker?
Appelknocker, Harold.
Oh. Well, you got a watch?
Watch? Nope, never use them. Down home, we go by the sun and the hogs. When the sun's straight up, it's noon, and when the hogs holler, it's dinner time.
Look, pal, we don't repair hogs. Now, what do you want?
Well, sir, I'm looking for a fella named Crandall. What's that fella's first name? Something like Prince or King or... I don't know. It's one of them royalty fellas.
Duke, maybe?
That's it. Duke. That's the fella.
You got the wrong place. Now, beat it.
Oh, doggone it. That's what everybody tells me. Sure wish I could find that fella, give him his money, and go back home. The city life is killing me.
Did you say money?
Yeah, that's what I said. Money. Plain as could be. You see, my cousin Josh is one of them lawyer fellas, and this Duke fella's uncle died and left him some money. Uncle Josh sent me up here to find him, and doggone, I sure wish I could.
How much money?
Friend, I don't rightly know. But Uncle Josh says it's enough to buy a poke of pigs, 2 or 3 farms.
That'd be a lot, huh?
Sure would be, friend. Sure would be.
Duke could use some dough. You sure you're on a level?
Well, I think so. Had to come up a hill to get here, but I do believe
Never mind. You got the money for Duke?
Nope, but I got this here paper I'm supposed to watch him sign.
and then Uncle Josh will send him the money.
Well, wait a minute. You stay right there.
So far, so good. Joey went into the back room, and I heard him dial. I couldn't hear the conversation, but I knew he was talking to Duke. 2 minutes later, he came back out.
Okay, pal. I'll take you to Duke.
Why, now, that'd be right neighborly. Only I don't want to take you away from your work, and you just tell me where I can find him.
Duke says to bring you. The shop will keep. Now move.
Joey locked the door, and then we went to his car and drove to the warehouse section. He pulled up in front of a deserted warehouse, stopped, and blew his horn twice. Pretty soon, a big man wearing striped trousers and a loud check sport coat came out of the warehouse and over to the car. This had to be Duke Crandall.
This the guy, Joey?
Yeah, Duke.
Okay, Hicks, start talking.
Appleknocker, Harold Appleknocker.
You dropped that business. You told Joey my uncle left me some dough. I ain't got an uncle, friend.
No, I was afraid of that.
Yeah. Now, what's your name?
How about a Swedish dialect? Got any uncles in Sweden?
You see, Duke, I told you over the phone he was a fake.
Yeah, it's good work, Joey. Now, get out, bud. I want to know why you were looking for me.
I didn't know where you were.
Get out, he said.
All right.
Maybe somebody followed this boy, Joey. Drive back up the alley and keep a lookout. I'll take care of him.
Right, Duke.
In the warehouse, Buster. That's good. Now you better tell me what's your angle.
I suppose you tell me first.
I don't get you.
Well, turn on a light. My name's Diamond, remember? The guy you nominated for a punching bag.
You don't make sense.
What?
I don't know anyone named Diamond. There are your lights. I still don't know you.
You stand there and tell me you've never seen me before?
Yeah, that's right. I suppose you do some talking.
Well, all I know is that a guy in a plaid overcoat came into my office and said he was Duke Crandall. Then he sapped me. An hour later, the same guy in the same overcoat repeated the process.
So you came looking for me?
That's it.
Well, it's too bad. I'm going to have to take care of you, Diamond. You might just mention where I'm hiding.
Oh. Then Benny Rathman's really after you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad that you had to stumble into this.
Well, I guess it just ain't my day.
This is a lonely place. Let's get it over. Wait a minute. Must be Joey.
Hey, Joey. Joey!
Joey's taking a little nap, Duke.
What?
Don't turn this way with that gunner, you'll be a dead man.
The man with the threat was Benny Rathman, standing in the doorway with a .45 in his hand. And what interested me was his wearing apparel, a flashy plaid overcoat.
Well, Duke, you picked a nice hideaway. And thanks, Diamond.
For whatever you mean, you're not welcome.
For finding Duke, smart boy. You see, I knew you'd never take my money if I tried to hire you to find him. So I posed as him in this overcoat. I knew you'd get mad enough and look for him on your own.
Well, aren't you cute?
Thanks. It was easy. Tailed you and you brought me right here.
Hey, look, Benny, let's talk all this over, eh? I wasn't gonna rat on you. Hey, look, I'll even take the rap on that blackmail charge.
Okay, I like you, but business is business.
But...
No buts, Stoogie. Now you, Diamond.
I was afraid you'd get around to that. But then I'm not really worried. You're not a very good shot, even at close range.
What?
You didn't even kill Duke.
Get him, Duke!
The ruse worked, and Benny turned around quickly. He was too far away for me to lunge at him, so I grabbed the next best thing, the light switch.
All right, Diamond. I should have expected some trick from you, but I've got lots of time. You've got no gun. Let's play cat and mouse, huh?
I crouched behind some crates as Benny came closer. He was right about the gun. I felt as helpless as a rabbit in a traffic jam. And then I noticed there were three crates piled on top of the one I was behind. It was a long chance, but better than none at all. Benny got closer, and I waited.
It'll be soon, Diamond. I'm getting accustomed to the dark now. I'll find that light switch soon, and I'll get you.
The crates hit Benny and knocked him off balance. I raced out and lunged in the general vicinity of a plaid overcoat. My left hand caught a flabby stomach, and the gun went clattering to the floor. Then my free right hand went hunting for a bobbing head. It found it. All right, Betty, get up.
Oh.
I beg your pardon?
Oh.
And I'll quote you on that. Now then, upsy-daisy. Attaboy.
Oh, my head.
Hurts, doesn't it? But you know, Benny, you hit me twice today, and I've only hit you once. Now, that's hardly fair, is it?
Your eye.
Oh, still at half mast.
Here, put this steak on it.
That? That's a whole cow. You could feed a family with that thing.
Now stop clowning and put it on your eye.
All right.
Notice anything different?
Yeah, it covers my whole face.
No. I mean about me.
No. New dress?
Mm-mm.
Mm. New hairdo?
Mm-mm.
Well, you're too young for new teeth. I give up.
New perfume. Smell.
Nice. Yeah. What's the occasion?
Oh, after you broke the dinner date, Ferdy Parker dropped in for a little while.
Oh, good for Ferdy. Did he make it under his own steam?
Oh, Rick, aren't you even a little bit jealous?
Of course not, honey. I'm broad-minded.
You mean thick-skulled.
Oh, Helen, dear, I was only kidding. I noticed something different as soon as I came in.
Oh?
Yeah. You finally got your piano tuned.
Rick!
When we are dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas. I get ideas. I want to hold you so much closer than I dare to. I want to scold you cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me and there's fire in every finger, I get ideas. Oh, I get ideas. And after we have kissed goodnight and still you linger, I kind of think you get ideas too. Your eyes are always saying the things you're never saying. I only hope they're saying that you could love me too. For that's the whole idea, it's true. That lovely idea that I've fallen in love with you.
Rick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also wearing a new lipstick.
Why, Helen, aren't we full of surprises tonight? Come here. And people feel sorry for me when I get beat up.
Dick Powell can now be seen starring in the Universal International film You Never Can Tell. Tonight's transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Dick Carr with music by Frank Worth. Our director was Nat Wolf. Virginia Gregg played the part of Helen Asher. Alan Reed was Lieutenant Levinson. Others in the cast were Herb Butterfield, Sidney Miller, Sandra Gould, and Sheldon Leonard. Listen next week for another exciting adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell. This is your FBI. The official broadcast from the files of the FBI follows immediately. Stay tuned. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the American Broadcasting Company.
There you have it. That's Richard Diamond, private detective, December 28, 1951, with the plaid overcoat case, also known as Duke is Being Blackmailed, starring Dick Powell. And that was originally sponsored by Camel Cigarettes. We removed, we aced all the Camel cigarette commercials as heard on ABC. What a cast. Roger, they had, these are actors that you would know. Sheldon Leonard. Sheldon Leonard in this cat. What one are you on there? You're on five? Okay. So very technical
yeah,
here.
Very, very Sheldon Leonard. He talked about
Sheldon Leonard.
Yeah,
Sheldon yeah. Leonard. I interviewed yeah. Sheldon Leonard once.
Of course you did.
And I'll never forget what he said to me. I said, what's a day in the life of Sheldon Leonard mm-hmm. like, Sheldon? He said, well, I get up in the morning. I go to my mailbox. I open my royalty checks, I go to the bank, and I deposit them.
Mm-hmm.
That's his day.
Yeah. Did you know that there was a Muppet character
after
based
him?
On Sheldon?
No.
It's the guy in the overcoat walks around and says, hey you
hey,
want to buy an A?
Yeah, oh, that guy.
Do you need a letter?
Well, you know, Sheldon a? Leonard on the Jack Benny program, he was the racetrack.
That's right. I know.
Racetrack tout.
Yeah. Hey, bub.
Speaking of racetrack touts, look
hey,
who just
bub.
Walked in the door. The main racetrack tout of all of them.
Did you fire Lisa?
Dave Plyer. Yeah. Did I fire Lisa? You know what? I had to because she was just way too. So her contract was up. Her contract was up for renewal.
Don't spill.
Her contract was up for renewal,
yeah, yeah.
And I cannot afford that one.
No. I wouldn't think so.
No. But also in that cast, Alan Reed, who was the voice of Fred Flintstone,
yep.
Sandra Gould, who was Mrs. Kravitz.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these are the greats. Virginia Gregg. You know what part Virginia Gregg played? Well, first of all, she was...
you talking about Sandra Gould, like, was in the last show you just played?
Yeah, she was in the last show.
I recognize
you were like,
totally
who is that?
Totally
yeah.
recognize
Virginia Gregg did a ton of radio. She was the voice of Norman Bates' mother
Ooh.
In the
Norman.
Original movie. Norman! That was Virginia Gregg.
That wasn't my mother-in-law, huh?
No. It was not. It was not. It's just someone that
yeah,
sounded
it makes
like
a better
your mother.
Story.
It would make a better story.
So, yeah, that was... Know? I mean, these
I'm
radio...
I'm just going to make up crap.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's hilarious. These radio shows had all the greats. All the greats in it.
Yeah.